One, two, three. Okay. Welcome to Security Guy Radio at As Is 2016 in sweaty, not nice Orlando, Florida. What's your name, young lady?
Deidre Diamond.
I knew that, of course. It's redundant, but I want to make sure our friends at Security Radio know that. Okay. Name your company, CyberSN.com.
Absolutely.
And what do you do?
I'm the founder and CEO. We are a national cybersecurity staffing firm.
And this is so important because we don't have enough people that understand computers. And yes. We're in a crisis mode, actually.
Yes, we have a national security issue. Not only do we have not enough people, we have not enough retention. What we're seeing in the marketplace is practitioners moving jobs every 16 months or so.
16 months?
It's crazy.
Wow. Not as fast as the Guard Force, which is every 3 months. You need to come help us, too. That's another problem.
But that's part of the program, isn't it,
yeah,
over
that's
there?
True. Yeah.
It's not supposed to happen over
that's
here.
Right. Right.
It's so, a massive problem.
So you go out and you find people, and more importantly, you try to retrain them. You're trying to match people to stay with the company they want to stay with.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And that's really the value beyond finding the person, is making sure that the fit is strong. However, it's really not in our control, which is why I brought Dustin here, who has been at a Fortune 50 for 16 years.
Yeah, I only lasted three. But I was grateful to work for a Fortune 50, mm-hmm. and that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Tell us about your experience.
Well, so enjoyed the company I worked for. Actually, it was for 15 years. 15 years I worked with them in various roles, doing web development, internal audit, as well as risk management and information security.
Now, what was your title, I guess, your function?
So most recently it would be governance, risk, and compliance.
Okay.
Analyst.
In the IT space.
IT space,
right.
Yes. But what I come to found out that people don't leave companies, they leave individual managers.
That's right. And they buy people, they don't buy your product. In other words, they're buying the salesperson.
That's true.
It's sell hope, not soap in the relationship, right.
Mm-hmm. And I had experience with this company, actually with an individual manager or some leadership that caused me to take a LinkedIn headhunter request and say, sure, I'll take a look at it.
Right.
I never would have thought about that previously. And so I just thought, you know, I might just take a look at this and see if I still got the goods or the mojo,
right.
if you will.
Sure.
And that was 15 years in.
That was 15 years in.
15 years into InfoSec. You never thought about looking.
Nope.
Somebody you worked for mm-hmm. created it such that you answered an ad, let's say,
yeah.
whatever, a recruiter. What happened?
So I looked at it initially just as good interview experience. I said, hey, I'm hoping to go into leadership at the company I'm at, and this would provide me just an additional avenue. Who knows? Maybe they would have an offer that I couldn't refuse. Well, I went down the path, and maybe that's because that's the best thing. I was relaxed, didn't think I had a shot in the world. And I ended up getting a position at a different company, away from where, a different location. I'd have to move. I finally got the title I was looking for, and I even got a little bit more salary. Weighed it heavily, and because of the situation I was in, I did not feel that I had the opportunity to be promoted. I said yes, and I left.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. 15 years mm-hmm. in, you left, and what happened?
So, as you may have heard in the industry, people often take a new job, and they get that salary, they get the role, they do the interviews, and it may even be an extensive interview, not 1 or 2 hours. They get there a few months into it, after the onboarding has either worked well or not so well, they realize, ooh, this isn't really what I thought I was being offered, and to come to realize that what I was doing was things I had already been doing at my previous
yes.
company.
So, yes.
Yeah.
We see this in the staffing business 50% of the time in terms of why somebody's leaving their current position mm-hmm. is because the work they're doing was not the work they were told they were going to be doing or they thought they were going to be doing, whichever it is. The lack of clarity shows up so quickly that the person that took the job is just miserable.
Now, you think this message is lost in the recruiting or the sell of the job, are people basically lying to people to get like people like you in the door because they just need them and we're going to promise you the world to get you in here and then we're going to pile more on because I need two of you, mm-hmm. but the two of you don't exist in the marketplace. Is that kind of what's happening?
I have my opinion. I'd love to first hear you, Dustin. What was it? Did they not explain it correctly or do you think they actually hit it?
I think they might have explained it well. It just was maybe my understanding of how much of the work I'd actually be doing, thinking that some of the things that they would ask me to do in that role, I thought would just be a certain percentage. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being more than I thought. And, you know, at the end of the day, I realized that that wasn't so much, it wasn't so much the work that was promised, but it also how the relationships. That's something I haven't touched on is that it's the relationships and how you have relationships with your peers and relationships with your direct supervisor. So at that, the new company, there was just several things, combination of the work as well as how the relationships were formed and built and maintained that didn't work out very well.
Right, right. And I know you left quickly and went back within 6 months, right?
So, yeah, it was very quick. So I mentioned relationships. When I left this my previous employer, I had maintained some good relationships with other leaders as I had done mentoring. And I reached out. They then said, yeah, we would be happy
Absolutely.
To take you back, but going through the proper interviewing process. And lo and behold, I'm back.
Yeah. So a great lesson from this. You used the word percentage, and I jumped in my seat because mm-hmm. that's what we do when we come in to fill a job requirement. The first thing we're doing is figuring out, well, okay, so they're going to do analyst work or they're going to do network engineering. What percentage of their time and really work with the hiring manager to carve out a full year with a percentage breakdown of how they're going to spend their time? Because you know, if not that, this is what happens. And it happens all the time, Chuck.
Let me ask you this. What is more difficult in your decision-making process, to leave or come back? In other words, did you feel you were not properly treated at the first company, that you were so compelled to, 15 years is a long, it's a long time, that it was just not workable and I had to leave? Yet the new company, I'm thinking it had to be a worse situation for you to leave so quickly. Because, you know, you want to try to give things a try. And you had to know really early that this was just not the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to an issue of loyalty as well, that I was loyal to a fault, the company I'm with now, and that where I was at in the relationships I had in my previous company really was what drew me back, as well as having to move my family. I think that was another thing that for me, having been somewhere for so long, the roots were there.
Yeah.
And I knew that I had really made a decision for my family and not considered in totality, even though I thought I did, my family's needs. And so it was harder to make the initial jump, and it was easier to maybe go back to where I was.
Let's talk about this manager. So I was fortunate enough back in the day to get a computer in 1984.
Okay.
And when I came to the workplace after I left, even the police department, policemen scratched their head and said, computers, Harold, get that thing out of here. We don't need a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to work for Fox and Disney, I knew computers. And I had to have IT people in my department to work all the cameras and do all the access control stuff, right? This is like in the 90s. And I was their manager. Now, I wasn't an IT guy.
Okay.
I will tell you, I think it helped me. And we talked about this at the last show a little bit, right?
Mm.
I think the industry needs to look at putting people in charge to manage IT people
Absolutely.
That are not IT people.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I'm not coming to you with the toot, because I know you're smarter than me in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I got the people part.
Mm.
And I know how to understand people. And I understand to speak to you as an intellect. And I know to speak to you as an analytic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to speak to you as my secretary who's emotional over here. Because if I do that, you're going to scratch my head and say, I don't understand. That does not compute, right? So you have to be able to send the right message to your employee. And I would never speak down to my IT people like I'm smarter than they are because I don't know what they're talking about. But I did know concepts, and I did know how to get people to work. And I did know when you're BSing me, by the way, right? So, we're going to put a 1 and a 0 there. That doesn't sound right, pal. Let's talk about that. We had a better relationship. And then we got stuff done, and nobody in my IT department didn't want to work there. and I think the IT guys come in, it's like a guard, right? I'm a guard, and I'm a corporal, and I'm a sergeant, and I'm a captain. Dude, you're a guard, okay? You can't talk down to this guy just because he doesn't have a stripe on his shirt. We see this in police work, right? So I'm thinking with the IT guys, it's like we start as IT and we become managers. But IT people, that's not their thing. They're like, they're geniuses and they want to program things and they get excited about their work and they don't want to go manage people. That's why they're talking to a box, right? So when you put an IT guy in charge of people, I think you get this sort of result where you're just not treated the right way. Am I wrong about that or is this theory?
Okay, so that is the old school world that has made it such that security professionals are struggling in the boardroom, let's say, or struggling in leadership because we were all trained that if you're technical, you can't possibly have soft skills. You can't possibly have leadership skills. In fact, you're in the back room. We hide you. I mean, that's what I walked into in the industry and seeing. And now we're saying, my gosh, who's the CEO's right-hand person? The chief security officer. I can tell you as a CEO is one of the first hires I made, right? So it is now a business of business. It's not a business of tech. Tech in IoT is now infiltrated business such that everybody needs to have leadership skills and communication skills. And so that's what I take from this whole story. When the cost of losing someone like Dustin is massive.
Yeah, it's why didn't they keep you? I mean, that's why didn't they try, right?
But
I mean,
the fact that they kept him 15 years is what we ought to be focusing on. Right. And what they did it right. He didn't even answer the calls that come all the time. But when he did, it was because of leadership. And so to me, it's always been the leaders are responsible for the success of the people in
their
teams.
Yeah.
And as leaders out there and as CEOs, we must give them the training that they need. If they can come from IT, just give them the training. I mean, they're not socially inept. They've just been told that they're not good at social skills.
No, I wasn't actually inferring that as much as it's not their passion, right?
Some of them. But you know what? How much of that is bred, I wonder? Much like young girls are saying tech isn't interesting, how much of that is bred by media? I would say all of it.
Okay, that's a good point.
You know what I mean? So I find very few technologists incapable of, you know, leadership.
So it's what was this guy's, your manager, what was the beef? What was the big disconnect?
Well, to this point, I was looking to go into leadership. And I had done everything that I thought I could do. There was no checklist, per se, to be promoted. But when you would go in, I'd go in for, you know, for an evaluation or whatnot. I didn't feel like there was the personal attention that I needed from this individual on various cases. But and it wasn't just an isolated case. It was various things over time that accumulate.
But overall, he made you feel like you're not capable of being in management, right, and leadership. I hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear that all the time. I've got somebody on my team.
Is it a threat to their job or something? Or what? What do you think?
I mean, me personally, I think it's the collective thinking of society that most technologists are not. Therefore, if I'm managing somebody and I've got an ego thing going on, then I'm going to gravitate towards that mentality.
Right.
It's almost the subconscious mind running the situation. And then coupled with, as you said, there was no plan or career path that the company or the department had designed for leadership advancement. So it was up to the leader, his manager,
to say yes or no.
Not that you could checkbox.
Yeah, not that you couldn't get past him to get into the program. There just wasn't a program. He was it.
Well, I actually was in a formal leadership program, but to say, all right, now what do I need to do? What, you know, saying, hey, help me out here, please help me out. What are the next things I need to be doing? Those answers or those conversations per se really weren't happening. And to this manager's credit, the focus was more on the results of the work. So you have, you know, you could focus on results based or you could focus on the people. And some people think you have to do either. And you need to be able to do
I
both.
You need to do both. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Unfortunately, that's logical.
This manager was really focused on getting results. And so the people aspect went down.
What kind of turnover did they have besides you, by the way? Just curious.
In the span that I left, there was one other person that left.
Okay. That is nothing. Yeah. This is a Fortune 50.
Right.
Yeah.
That is nothing. I mean, without permission to say their name, we won't. But, man, I bet you they'd like us to say their name because they're doing a lot of stuff right. I can tell you that is not normal in
tell
the industry.
Tell us what's normal.
And he's happy. Not only is he's staying happily.
Yeah.
What's going on in the industry is people are having a very tough time job searching because nobody speaks a common language. So when they put their resume out there, they're getting calls from people that don't speak their language. And by the time they figure out whether or not they're right or wrong for the job, they're spending hours of time.
I find
and
that
they're usually wrong for the job. And they're working, Chuck.
I don't get that in the IT part because IT is all about very specific skills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're a guard. You got to have a guard card. You got to be breathing. Not complicated, right?
It's so different.
But IT, I don't get
why.
It's like you either know DOS or you know this. You know what I'm saying? or you don't, right? But and so he's having a hard time finding the job, or you're having a hard time finding him, which is harder.
So he found a job. It didn't fit.
Didn't match.
Mm-hmm. Didn't match.
Didn't match
right?
expectations.
So if he's, depending on how unhappy he is, he's going to settle quicker.
Okay.
And he's going to do less investigations because the process is a nightmare. And you're working. And they're working 12, 15 hours.
Right, right.
And everybody knows where everybody is. It's not easy to interview. So finding, there are so many cyber professionals that are just amazing that take a year, 2 years to find what they're looking for. That's crazy when everybody's looking for them. And that's because of the lack of common language, the recruiters internal and external don't speak the language, the hiring managers are already overwhelmed with so much work to be done.
Yes.
So they're doing the work of the people they don't have, and they don't have the time to really invest in hiring, or at least they think they don't, so they're not, which I would argue that that's where they ought to start because that's what's going to solve the problems and put everything they've got into hiring. And yet that's what's happening. And so there's more technology recruiters than technologists.
How interesting. And they're not getting it right on top of it.
And it's not so much that they're not getting it right. The organizations aren't getting it right.
Well, I would think if you're a technology recruiter, you know something about technology. But then I used to think that about the guard business. And I'd go in for a job interview. And somebody would ask me questions, and I literally stood up on one of them. I said, there's no way I would ever work here. And they said, why? I said, because you have no idea what you're talking about, and you're trying to hire me.
Yeah.
And obviously, if the disconnect is here at HR, I'm going to have a bigger disconnect upstairs because whoever sent you down to hire me didn't give you the things you're looking for, right?
Yeah.
And you're finding this in the IT. Maybe the IT recruiter is not an IT person.
Well, sure. Well, again, cyber, not even IT is what we're talking about. So typically internal HR recruiting departments recruit for all different types of positions. So how can they specialize?
I think they have
They have
to,
everything.
They, yeah.
Well, they ought to be. Yeah. However, they're not most of the time. And even if they are, who's really taking the time to train them? And how much do they really speak the language of
cyber? So I hear on both sides of this problem, equal problems. Is it a communication issue then where, you know, you're not taught, your language isn't matching the recruiter's language and there's this miscommunication plus the lack of available people. That's the other problem,
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. It's both. And then retaining people, which is why I wanted Dustin to come on because his story is so rare. I mean, that's the name of the game. And it's the name of the game for us as humans, as individuals, because the psychology stress of moving jobs is overwhelming and it's not healthy. And if people are doing it every 16 months, that means they're looking way in advance. That means there's tons of upset, which means life's not fun. And it's
Tell
ridiculous.
Me about it. That's why I got a radio show. Don't worry about that part.
But exactly. It's true. Left it.
No, I worked. I worked at Fox and Disney, and those are for 10 years, right? And those were, you know, one's a Fortune 50, one's a Fortune 100, or whatever it is, and then two guard companies for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I just went like, you know what? This is too much. It's too much of a disconnect in the whole business.
Yeah.
You get different messages from different silos and different people, and I just decided on my own I'd do better going out doing this, right? And that stress of moving people, moving your family, worrying about what's happening for your paycheck, that is a lot of stress. Now, are you finding, have people like you ever considered leaving the whole business? Have you ever thought about that? Is the stress level gotten so high that you said, you know what, I'm going to go sell hot dogs at the football game?
Personally, no, but having conversations with whether direct people in my area or even peers in the industry, I can say yes. there's conversations that are had.
Just a common thing. You see
yes.
this too, right?
I see it mostly in women. And I'm curious as if you noticed that at all, if you thought of the people that you're thinking of, and would they
well,
be females?
Well, yes. I mean, there are some women in that category, yes. But I can't put my finger on whether it's majority
of
one
the
or the other. Yeah.
Right. So, well, there's only 10% women. So. Yeah. And the statistics show, ISC Squared's put them out, that women are leaving cyber, uh-huh. they're leaving tech for more, you know, different STEM jobs that have their cultures together more. And that's a problem, a massive problem for us. So, absolutely.
Are they leaving because they don't feel they're accepted or
yes,
something? Or
absolutely. I was yesterday, just yesterday, before I went to be on a panel about building and retaining teams, I was talking to a young woman who happened to be African-American, and she's in cyber, and we were just chatting, and she just said to me, yeah, I just left being an engineer to go into risk because the culture is so unwelcoming. I'm tired of not... you know, being included and not feeling like people wanted me there.
Smart as hot.
And she
I
was
don't get that
so
part.
It's
weird.
Together and
do
intelligent.
They think women aren't as smart or something? What is the disconnect?
It's hard to speak for these people because I've never worked around them in my life. Thank goodness. Mm. However, it's everything from being included to language, you know, the language that it's used in the office.
All the good old boy stuff.
The good old boy stuff to not feeling that they're smart enough. Of course. Huh. Of course.
It's very interesting.
I would love to have her on and talk about that, right? Because again, I really feel so lucky that I didn't work around men like that. The men I worked around really were amazing, and I worked for them for 20 years, never mind all the men we brought into the company. And so, you know, it just it's really sad.
You think this is kind of a, I mean, not unique, but a little more prevalent in that business than other businesses? I mean, you rarely hear of women not being included in workforces or being kind of not part of the gang and workforce. That's kind of old school.
Well, let's put it this way. If there's one out of 10, and you've got a team of 10, and one woman, which is what it's like, most women are working as the only woman on their team.
Okay.
So how do you, what's that like in terms of the activities that are going on? Does a woman really want to go to a sporting event? Some, not all.
Oh, so there's a balance.
Does a woman want, you know, I've heard women say, you know, to guys, hey, you guys, stop having, you know, pseudo meetings in the bathrooms because I'm not there. And I don't hear what you guys are doing. That's what things like that would happen. Mm. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be this outright.
Not necessarily hazing.
To be, hazing, bullying, although it does exist. Yeah. It's, how about this? How about passwords? Stripper this, hooker that, right? Just passwords when women come on to teams. I've heard these stories, right? And it's just a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you know what? There is still sexual harassment, and it isn't over, and there still is that speak down to. It does still exist in a lot of cultures.
Well, I can say this. If I can speak, I can't speak, you know, I can say for where I'm at now, but I have not experienced that. I have actually seen a lot of, there's actually quite a few women in my space where I'm at.
Awesome.
And in fact, it's probably a 50-50 split.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
wow,
incredible.
That's good.
Is that the risk side of things?
No, I'm
Do
on
you
the
think
information
are the
security.
Too?
And, well, I would say for information security.
Information security.
Yes.
So analysts.
Analysts, yes.
Yes.
And even in leadership, a lot of our leaders are female.
Yes. Well, and the Fortune 50, are, you know, get it first. They can't grow without it. It's a numbers game.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense,
It's a 50, what percentage of the population are women? So there's no doubt that the larger organizations got it first. However, there's so many companies that aren't there yet. And that's where I've heard of startups where CEOs don't understand why, you know, having co-ed bathrooms in San Francisco and the CEO not understand, well, why is a woman uncomfortable with that? You know, I mean, that still goes on. You know, so that wouldn't happen in a Fortune 50 because there's rules and it's different, you know. So, I mean, there's just the stories are so just details that one wouldn't think of. Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, how about the things that we wear around our necks for these conferences? Well, as a woman, I don't have a collared shirt, or I'm not wearing a collared shirt. So that thing that sits on our neck is, you know, uncomfortable right all day because I'm not tucking it under. You know, it's all those things that have never mind just the men that aren't woke to being kind and you know, keeping their hands off. You know, you put all that together, and then just the natural environments of technology not really having plans and breakdowns of who's supposed to be doing what all the time. You put all that together, these environments are not. And then being the minority, I mean, I don't, know if any either of you have ever felt like what it feels like to be a minority.
No, I have a million times.
Well, then that go to that feeling, and so be that person, plus all of these just discomforts, you know, and it adds up and it wears. And there's less of that in risk, and there's less of that in compliance, and there's less of that in terms of being an analyst than on the engineering side. However, we must advance the engineering side because that's where we're hurting the most.
Yeah.
You know? It's crazy.
Teacher Diamond, thank you. CyberSN.com.
Absolutely.
And young man, your name again?
Dustin.
Dustin, thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio. Appreciate it. Very fascinating conversation. Now, by the way, I must say that after every show, I give a little ranking.
Okay.
Either I feel good or feel bad. And my last show, I felt good. I felt that this guy had a product that was going to save the world. I'm not feeling so good after talking to CyberSN, I got to say.
I'm
a little worried again about, are we getting there? I know you're trying. And that's brilliant, right? I get that part. Yes. But yeah, I didn't realize this is such a big problem. I'm a big fan. I'm a big champion. And whatever Security Guy Radio can do to help get more women and people in the right places and jobs, let's do it. Because it's
We didn't talk about hashtag BrainBabe. So brainbabe.org, and that's my not-for-profit where I'm bringing women in and training them and to add to info security teams. And, you know, we're raising awareness. And the cool thing is that men really want to help, and mostly because they have daughters. So
and also,
I don't care why.
When I'm 85 years old, I want to make sure that my Internet of Things all works.
Yes.
And it's not going to work if we go this way.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for coming on.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was fun.
All right.
Yeah.
It's true, man. I mean, now they can't make change at Carl's Jr.